Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Facade Pod. Today, we have a very special guest. We have Candace Short, who is the GM of Harmon's Mid-Atlantic office.
That's right, Matt. We talked about a lot of different things with Candace. It was a really fun interview that we got to have with her. For those of you that don't know, Candace is certainly a rising star in this industry. She has a really unique background, and her training that she's gone through has really prepared her well for a super bright future. And we're thankful to have her on.
Yeah, I'm excited for the listeners to get to know Candace. So without further ado, here she is.
All right, we got
you. Hey.
We got you. Guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
We're just trudging through the week, headed to Friday, right?
Right. Yeah.
Matt's got a big trip coming up next week, so he has a lot of reason to get to the weekend. Matt, what are you doing next week?
Yeah, I am going on a trip out west to do a little hunting. So, taking the week off next week. So, you know, that means you got to do twice as much work the week before.
Yeah. And then like three times as much the week you get back.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Unfortunately, when you're outside field sales reps, there's not a lot of people covering your desk, so to speak. So.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this is awesome, Candace. Thank you very much for popping on with us. Like, it's been a really fun opportunity for us to do this, because through COVID, like, obviously everything's been virtual and you're dealing with all these Zoom meetings. And for us, we were like, well, we might as well like see if anybody will come and talk to us about like leadership or their path in the industry when, I mean, we would never otherwise be connected. So it's been a cool opportunity, and we're really happy to have you on and excited for it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm flattered to even be invited. So glad to be here.
Well, I don't know how prestigious this is yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't thank us until you get a bunch of LinkedIn followers or something like that. You know, we don't know if anyone's even tuning in yet.
Yeah. And really there has been some good followers on LinkedIn and stuff, and people listening. We've got some good feedback, but really it's for us to have this opportunity to meet people. And we think people are interested out there. Like, we've heard from other people, they're like, hey, this is awesome to hear how these people operate and how they run their offices or their shops or things like that. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
Cool. So with that, we'll let you introduce yourself here. If you could tell us who you are, who you work for, what your role is there, that's a great place for us to start.
Yeah, I'm Candace Short. I'm the general manager for Harmon's Mid-Atlantic region. So I'm based in Glenbury, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore.
That's awesome. So, you know, one of the things that we always like to start with that we think is just kind of funny is how everyone gets into the glass industry. Everyone's got a funny story or a relative. So love to know how you got connected to Harmon and how you kind of got introduced to the glass world.
Sure. So I'm originally from Michigan, like Metro Detroit area. I went to Eastern Michigan University for construction management. And one of the requirements of the program there is that you have to do an internship, which is a really good requirement. Everybody should do as many internships as they can. But there I was the summer between my junior and senior year, hadn't done an internship yet. So one of the alum from the program had reached out to one of the professors saying, hey, do you have anybody that might want to do an internship? So long story short, I did an internship with Harmon and I never left. So I knew nothing about curtain wall. I was determined to go work for a general contractor. That's kind of what they taught me in college. We were learning the GC's perspective of things. So I was like, I'll just do this internship just to check the box, and then I'll go work for one of the big GCs in the area. But I just, yeah, like I said, I just never left. And it's been 16 years.
Yeah, once you get in, you never get out. Once, you know, and that's, talk about a great place to land on an internship, and then you never looked another way.
Right? Yeah. You know, and honestly, the internship wasn't even that enjoyable. Like now we have this great internship program where we, you know, really make sure that we are providing training and exposure to all the different aspects of the business. But I remember just like being put in this back office with Glass Magazine, like, yeah, and some details. Like, here you go. Here's a, and then one guy tried to show me the difference between curtain wall and storefront and window wall. And I remember thinking like, they all look the same to me. Hey, you know, I don't know.
Right.
So interesting to look back on how far I've come.
Right. So kind of going off of that a little bit, you said you landed on construction management. Were you the kid who was always building Legos and doing Lincoln Logs, and then you ended up going into construction management? Or how does someone land on that degree?
I bet you could guess. My dad's in construction.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. So my dad did residential construction.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I think he kind of wanted me to follow in his footsteps, do that kind of thing, but yeah, here I am.
Yeah, here's your chance for a plug. You can plug his whatever his construction company is. Here's your chance.
Yeah, no, he's retired now. But yeah, he just kind of did his own thing back in Michigan.
Yeah, it's you know, like the two of us, I don't know, we did not have that story. Like we both came, we went to college together, and were roommates for 4 years, and we're both teachers. Like we graduated with teaching degrees, and then I am from Owatonna, Minnesota, and they pulled, like Viracom pulled me back in, and then I pulled Matt in. And so like, I don't know, it's, you're either like your parents are in it or there's some weird connection where you just fold right in. Yeah.
Yep.
So as you're, I mean, that was your internship. I mean, what were the next steps for you then with Harmon? You've been there for 16 years. What were some of the next steps that you took there?
Yeah, so I did the internship and then just rolled right into being a project coordinator. So I continued to work full-time and go to school full-time for that last year of school. And really, you know, I started off in estimating and what we now call pre-construction, kind of bidding jobs. I remember I had my little flip phone and they would send me with this packet. It was our bid package, but the numbers weren't filled in because they were still crunching all the numbers back at the office. So I would have to drive to wherever this office was, sit in my car, wait for my next cell to ring, and they would tell me what numbers to write on the bid form. Yeah. And then I'd go turn the bid form in.
Changed a lot. And that was what, 15 years ago? Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started doing that, but I saw the project managers. I got to visit a couple job sites and I was just like, man, I want to do what they do. I want to go build stuff, you know? So I finally convinced my boss to give me a shot on the, you know, ops side of things. Even though I was project coordinator, I was kind of floating a little bit. So got to go work on a couple projects up there and just kind of learned as I go. So worked my way from project coordinator to project manager to senior project manager into my current role.
Were there stops outside of this Mid-Atlantic office? What other offices did you spend time in?
Yeah, so I started in the Detroit office. Mm-hmm. Harmon used to have an office in Detroit. We don't anymore. Worked there for a few years. And then during the recession, I was working on a job down in Virginia. Another PM was working on a job down in Florida. There really was like no work in Detroit. So Harmon made the strategic business decision to close that office. And that's when I relocated out here to the Mid-Atlantic, to Baltimore. Okay. I was out here for about 6 months and then had an opportunity to be part of the Apogee Management Trainee Program.
Yeah, people are gonna think we kind of fed you the questions beforehand, because that was going to be our next question about kind of some of that training that you've had. If you could talk just a little bit about, you know, that training program and what it entailed and what it looked like specifically for you, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. I you know, I don't think the program as it was exists today, but it was an opportunity. So I was already at Harmon as a project manager, and that wasn't how that program was how it originally or usually worked at the time. Usually it was an opportunity for outside candidates to come into the business and really rotate through the different Apogee business units. So I relocated to Minnesota. I worked at Viracon Owatonna for 7 months. So I lived out there. I lived in Faribault. And I loved it. I was there for the winter. I was there like fall through spring. You know, I love Minnesota winters. I don't know why anybody complains about it up there.
You must be like coming home for you. Michigan's got nasty winters.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to work at Viracon, which was pretty cool. So I was a Lean Six Sigma black belt. So did Lean Six Sigma projects there. And then my next rotation was at Wausau Windows. So I went and lived in Wausau for about 7 months again. I worked as a Lean Six Sigma black belt for a little while there. And then I got to try my hand as a project manager over there as well for a little bit. Then I returned to Harman, still in the Apogee program, and just got to kind of work for, I guess, kind of corporate, doing some continuous improvement Lean Six Sigma initiatives. And then it came time for me to, you know, kind of make that call of like, okay, do I want to continue to maybe pursue some other opportunities within Apogee or go be at Harman? But getting those experiences at the other businesses and in some different roles really, for me, affirmed my passion for running work and project management at Harman. So I opted to come back and be a project manager for a few more years.
That's such a cool story. And it really is unique, you know, a program like that where you get to, you know, put, you know, your fingers in every single different portion of that glazing world is really unique. Even Mitch and I laugh. You know, we know an awful lot about glass, but there's some other things. Don't ask us too deep of questions on other parts of the glazing world.
Well, and it's funny too, like, we're both glad to hear that you don't think this program exists anymore, because we're both like, hey, how come no one's asked us to go do this leadership?
Well, it was a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So then you ended up in your current role, and can you tell us, you said you're the general manager. Can you tell us what that looks like?
Yeah, so, you know, my day-to-day varies based on the business needs. You know, if we're bidding a project, I get pretty heavy into the pre-construction and putting together our bid package. We do what's called collaborative bidding here. So our project managers are involved from the very beginning with our estimators that do the takeoff and our pre-construction team. So everybody is involved from the beginning, and then we kind of go from there. So if we're bidding a job, I'm super involved in that.
Okay.
But, you know, I go out, I visit job sites, I go visit the manufacturing facility. I might, you know, I meet with the project managers. It varies day to day. I might have meetings with corporate. So it's a little bit of everything.
Right.
And I got to imagine then, like, so with being a general manager and being able to do all of those things, do you think the training that you had and learning a little bit about everything probably directly correlated to what your job is today?
Yeah, you know, I think so. It's at the point that I was going through that training, I don't think I really recognized everything that I was learning. Kind of takes me getting through a few years to look back and go, oh, wow, I really did learn a lot from that. I really did gain a lot of value from that experience. Not just as a general manager today, but even as a project manager in the last few years, kind of getting that inside look into production at Viracon gave me a different perspective as a project manager over here ordering glass. You know, I understand why I might be told that certain glass can't be crated together, different glass makeups can't be crated together or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause we get those questions all the time of, like, I don't know if it's just like the scale or scope of things, but somebody's like, well, can't you just throw that in there as well? And it's like, no, these could be completed, you know, weeks apart. So I think that for you to have that experience is gotta be a huge benefit. Yeah.
One of my favorites. Oh, go ahead, Candace.
Oh no. I was just going to say, even like just knowing the people, you know, being able to put faces with the names is invaluable.
One of my favorites is where is my piece of glass right now? It's out in our 1 million square feet of production facility. I don't exactly know, so having the ability to, like you said, put a face with a name and then, you know, see all the different aspects probably makes you a much more well-rounded, you know, project manager and general manager.
Yeah,
I think so.
So another question, like, as you're now in charge of this branch out in the Mid-Atlantic, like, has your prior education or experiences like that affected how you're training your current associates and people working underneath you?
I think it probably has an indirect impact that may be hard to identify exactly, you know, because that all contributed in, you know, it all played into who I am and the person that I am and the type of manager that I am. As with any of us, our experiences kind of mold and shape us into who we become. So, you know, I'm not necessarily doing any of that same type of specific training with anyone, but I think it's so important for all of us to just share our knowledge and our experiences. So that stuff where, like, I have that kind of inside knowledge of, now that was 11 years ago that I was in Owatonna. So it's a little different, but still I can share some of that with some of the newer people here with the rest of my team.
Because talking with Jill Sawyer before this, who connected us, she was like, you know, one of the biggest strengths of Candace and this team here is just how well-rounded that group is and how much they know their stuff. So obviously you guys are doing some things right, and you're a very knowledgeable group from the sounds of things. Yeah.
And I can't really take credit for that. This really great group of people before I got here.
Sure. Yeah. I think
I'll speaking of that, speaking of great group people before you got there, we always hear from all the other podcasts we've done, somebody's connected to Harmon in some way or been mentored by someone at Harmon. Do you have any people that specifically mentored you throughout your career here?
I haven't necessarily done any formal mentorships. I could probably list out 24 names of, you know, just different people over the years that have contributed to you know, who I am today. It's hard for me to really narrow that down to one or two. So giving you the kind of PC answer there.
We didn't ask who are your mentors and who are the people that definitely did not mentor you. We don't need to name those. Right.
I learn even from the people that, you know, do me wrong. I learned some lessons there too. So.
Absolutely. So one of the other things that we just, and as we're trying to do this, we're trying to make this like as unique as we can, these questions. And one thing that, I mean, frankly, we just haven't interviewed a female leader in the industry yet. And so we did want to touch base with you. And like, are there any unique accomplishments or challenges that have come from you being a female in this industry that oftentimes is pretty male dominated?
Yeah. You know, I've always kind of been like one of the guys. I went to school for construction management, so I was often the only female in many of my classes there. My first job before coming to Harmon was at a lumberyard. I worked at a lumberyard and hardware store for 4.5 years prior to Harmon. So I've kind of always been, I never really even thought of it until recently when the talks of women in construction kind of started growing a bit. Like, yeah, I guess I have always been one of the few, if not the only female in the room. I'll say that my eyes have been open to it more over the last few years. Mm-hmm. I've been really fortunate to have worked for Harmon and Apogee, who have always taken care of me. I've never felt discriminated against because I'm a woman. So I think I've been really fortunate in that regard, because I do know that there are cases out there where women can't say the same thing in the industry. Mm-hmm. I've definitely experienced the bias that exists out there. Maybe sometimes because I'm a female, but I also think maybe sometimes because I'm young, or, you know, maybe in the past was younger. I've never taken it personally. Like I said, I think there's definitely opportunity for us to kind of open our eyes to some of the bias that exists. But I really like to just let my work speak for itself. Like I said, not take it personally. I'm going to do a good job, whether you think I'm qualified or not, whether you have your biases against whether you think a woman should be doing this or not. I'm just going to do what I think is best. Yeah. I'm going to use the tools that I have and the resources that I have and go from there.
Oh, very cool. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. Touch on another one that I think is a little interesting there is just young people in the industry. And even, you know, Mitch and I at different times being younger guys have seen the when you sit down in a room full of people who have done it for 40 years and you haven't done it for quite so long. And it's certainly interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I've experienced that myself. And it's like, do they think I'm an idiot because I'm a woman, or do they think I'm an idiot because I'm younger? I'm like, well, they think the guy sitting next to me is just as dumb, so it's probably not a gender thing. It's probably just that, like, we don't know what we're doing yet.
Yeah. Do you ever get to the point where people stop calling you that kid from Harmon? Because I'm still the kid from ViraCon. Ah, that kid from ViraCon's coming in today. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm an adult. Like, come on.
It depends who's talking. I'm at that weird transition point in my life or my career where I still feel like the kid sometimes, but then I go, oh, well, maybe no, because I got kids. And then I start looking, I'm like, and the high school kids, they look like little babies to me. So maybe I'm getting older now. Yeah. And then I'm referring to people as like the kid. Uh-huh. But it depends, because then I still hear other people who are much older and experienced than I am. They might refer to me and some of the others my age as kids. So
sure. Yeah,
it's all relative.
Probably eye-opening. I'm not ready to not be called the kid anymore. So, you know, like, that's probably an eye-opening time when you go, oh God, they don't even think I'm the kid anymore.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of, as we conclude here a little bit, one of the things we're trying to do in each episode is really, you know, see if there's one lasting thing from your experience. If you could tell, whether it's a young person in the industry or someone, you know, who's thinking about construction management or different, you know, avenues within the construction world, do you have one kind of thing that has helped you throughout your career or one piece of advice that you would leave to somebody who's just getting into it?
You know, this is a tough one because there are just so many things that come to mind, you know, just advice that I would share with people. And I try to make myself available, especially for my direct reports and the people in my office, you know, especially that have been with the company 5 years or less. We spend a lot of time together, either through, you know, one-on-one, weekly, bi-weekly, whatever. But I think if I had to just pick one thing to share with you today that has really made a difference for me is don't be afraid to ask questions. I find that there are two reasons that people don't ask questions. And the first one is they don't want to sound stupid, which I have found that a lot of times everybody else is wondering the same thing. And one of the things that's great about being newer in the industry, so if you've been in the industry 5 years or less, like, nobody expects you to know all the answers. Even if you've been here a long time, nobody expects you to be the expert at everything and know everything. We are all learning every day. So in that case, like, don't be afraid of looking stupid. And then the other reason that I find that people don't want to ask questions is because everybody else is so busy. Oh, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to bug you. I don't want to nag you because, you know, the manager or the senior PMs or whoever, right? Like, we are busy. Construction's a busy business. And if you're a bunch of like type A people like me, you're going to, my calendar is always full. You'll never have an empty calendar because I'm a busybody. So that doesn't mean I'm not going to make time to answer your questions and spend time with you. So just don't be afraid to ask the question.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that is a fantastic takeaway. Information really is power. And yeah, there's plenty of times everybody's done it where you're like, I have no idea what they are talking about right now, but you're too afraid because everybody else is nodding their head and clearly knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So That is a fantastic takeaway. So yeah, I mean, I guess thank you for your time today. We, you know, we appreciate it. We know you're busy, and yeah, if there's anything else, hopefully people are going to tune in and listen and have some great takeaways from this episode.
Yeah, it really was great to meet you. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to meet you guys as well. Thanks again for taking the time to chat.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to say thanks again to Candace for taking time out of her extremely busy schedule to sit down and have this conversation with us. Matt and I really learned a lot, and we hope you guys enjoyed it. So thank you all for continuing to listen to this podcast. We really do appreciate it. We've got 3 more episodes still to launch, and we've got 3 really good ones on the books. So check us out again next Wednesday for the next installment of the Facade Pod. See you then. Be good.